The Final Furlong podcast is proudly sponsored by Coral. Look out for exclusive Final Furlong smart boosts on attheraces.com. The smart money's on Coral. BeGambleAware.org 18 plus.
The Final Furlong podcast is brought to you in association with attheraces.com, the ultimate resource for racing fans.
Hello! Welcome along to podcast. Welcome along to the Final Furlong podcast, where once again we say hello! I'm Emmett Kennedy. Thank you very much for joining us for a weekend preview. Breaking news. Just come into the Final Furlong podcast studio. Ladies, I'm sorry. He's off the market. Kevin Blake is engaged to producer D. Congratulations, Kev and D. We are delighted for you. Twitter is mostly delighted for you. But the female listeners to the Final Furlong podcast who dreamed of one day turning Kevin Blake into their husband, their dreams are shattered. Congratulations, Kevin.
Cheers. No one cares. Move on.
What did you get? Like 1,000 likes for that tweet? The entire racing community are behind yourself and producer D. Young love, and may it last for many years. Kevin from At The Race and Sky Sports Racing, congratulations, Kev, and producer D. We wish him all the best. And we are also joined by At The Race's pundit, Mr. Declan Ricks.
Hello!
Oh. Go again there, Rixie.
Again?
Yeah.
Hello!
Good old echo feature there. It never gets old. So we are going to start by looking at the 888 Sport Handicap Chase, the old racing post chase. It's worth 56,000 to the winner. Top weight is double shuffle. Don't imagine he'll be winning, though, unless you want to try and take that King George form, literally. Glenn Rocco is currently favored around about 7-2. Adrian DuPont, 9-2. Talk is Cheap, 6-1. Rather Be, 13-2. Double shuffle coming in at 8-1. So, Rixie, have you cracked one of the big handicap chases of the season?
I hope I have, Emmett, yeah, but it's not that big in the end. I think there's only 10 horses running for a first prize of £56,000. So
this must be the smallest field for quite some time.
Asher, have you not heard of the little thing called Cheltenham? We don't want to win 57 grand at Kempton. We want to win. We want to finish fourth in the Cheltenham Festival Handicap there and get about 6 back.
It's funny because it's true. Anyway,
yeah, it is. It is, unfortunately, you know, 10 runners for this is not good.
It's a 100 grand guaranteed race, and you're only pulling in 10 runners. It's mad.
There you go. But then it does help spoofers like us kind of whittle down the field quicker. So
100%, you know, 100%.
Every cloud. Yeah, look, we're gonna start big and we're gonna take on a favourite. I think that's the way I'm gonna go. Is Glenn Rocco? Is that Jeremy Kyle's horse?
That is Jeremy Kyle's horse. That's Jez's horse.
Anyone have any good stories about Jeremy Kyle?
About being surprised, maybe.
I don't know. Have you spoken to Jeremy Kyle, Kevin?
I'll tell you what, the Final Furlong bingo players absolutely got discombobulated there because they went all in on 101 that Jeremy Kyle would get a mention in the race intro. I can't believe it hasn't happened.
But the problem is, it didn't. It was Rixie that did it, and I'm just disowning it completely. I'm just sitting back nonchalantly.
That's true.
Letting you go.
I don't know what you're laughing at, Blake. You'll be under trying to fix your marriage in about 10 years. <you stuff.
laughs> Rixie's spitting fire.
Rixie's Sorry, been D. spitting hot fire for the last few days. Maybe Rixie.
Yeah, this engagement announcement brought Rixie's Twitter game up to a new level. So
unbelievable scenes. If you're not following Rixie Hawkwing on Twitter, you need to be. He's been spitting hot fire.
Every dog has his day.
So you want to take on Glenn Rocco?
Yeah, I do. He's a likable horse, Glenn Rocco, but he's gone up 13 pounds for winning that race the last time, and that's enough, you know. I think it's another case of the BHA boys getting a bit jiggy, you know, and slapping on 13 when they probably should have been slapping on 6. You know, the race that he won the last time, beating Ballylongford, it really did fall apart. He kind of chased the leaders and before getting into the race in good style. But, you know, Ballylongford didn't see out his race and he made a couple of mistakes. Barney Dwan, Ali Khan, none of those really ran their races. So, look, I think I'm happy to take him on at the prices. He's gone up £13, as we say, and it's a much better race. So, yeah, look, I think the one for me at the prices is actually going to be Talk Is Cheap of Alan Kings.
Good man.
I'm hoping this lad will win now because he's a very, very likable horse. He's not the biggest, but he jumps and he travels and he's got a good attitude. And he's on a mark of 145. And I think that's fair, to be honest, especially for a horse going in, having his first run in a handicap. Just going back, looking at his form there, you know, he's mixed it with the like of Labago War, Lost in Translation, Theatre Territory, and on the blind side this season. So, look, this is, I wouldn't say it's an easier assignment, but these kind of horses, young progressive novices, especially when they jump well, first time out in a handicap, they're always worth kind of a second look. So, yeah, look, he'll do for me. As you mentioned earlier, Double Shuffle is an interesting horse. You know, he's been second in the King George around here. And now this is a big drop in class for him. But he hasn't returned this. Well, I wouldn't say that. He ran well at Aintree. He didn't run too well in the King George this season. But, look, I think he'll do for me. Talk Is Cheap. He is a horse who does everything right. He's fairly handicapped. And the Alan King stable are in good order at the moment.
And as I see on attheraces.com, he is a best price 6-1 currently. Talk Is Cheap. There was a good bit of talk about him before the Cheltenham Festival. He was fancied as a dark horse for the yard for the Albert Bartlett. Things did not go to plan at all in that race, but I think he's a very, very interesting horse off a mark of 145. Kevin, anything caught your eye? Your old friend Modus?
No, not Modus for me now. No, I'll take a chance on Walt, bottom weight. He probably looks a little bit more exposed than most of these. And while some will maybe be sceptical as to the step forward he has seemed to have taken in his last two starts, I would just take a punt that it's real improvement brought about by the visor / tongue tie, which he's had on for the first time in his last two. So, well, had it on for the first time at Taunton and then again at Newbury. And I suspect whichever one it is, that they've just brought him forward a bit and there might just be more improvement to come. Very much up in class, but he's a big old price. So I'll take my chance that he's underestimated and will go well in, you know, 25-1. That'll do.
Yeah, on attheraces.com, the 25s is gone, but you can get 20s, 16s in places, but 20-1 is widely available. So don't say
Blake
we don't give you value.
Blake is looking to pay for that wedding pretty sharpish, isn't he?
Blake is going to start investing in reverse forecasts now as well. He'll play the Talk Is Cheap waltz reverse forecast, and when it comes in, he'll be waltzing with producer D. I see what we did there.
I tell you, if I want to get some money in the pot, based on the first 5 minutes of this podcast, all I should be doing is buying mentions of weddings or engagements from the two boys, and I'll have a fortune made by the end of the episode. Move on.
And this is where Rixie and I now never mention it again, and Kevin gets absolutely screwed. The Eider Handicap Chase is live on Sky Sports Racing at 2:40 in glorious HD. Otago Trail is currently heading the weights. Sharp Response, there's been a bit of talk about him on the tweet machine today. Is he going to run? Is he not going to run? 7-1. Back to the Tatch, 9s. Vincente, 10-1. De Klondike for David Pipe, 12s. Rixie, we'll start with you again. All about De Klondike here for me. Done. Thanks very much.
Bingo!
All in. All in on De Klondike. For you, my friend. Pipe.
For me, ooh, sorry, that wasn't a sharp response, was it?
Oh.
I actually only thought of that there now. That was quite good for me. But yeah, look,
it
looks like he's not... He's not going to run, it doesn't look like. I think the owner may have tweeted today that the horse is not going to run. So that's a shame, because it's a nice pot for a horse who I think he's been laid out for this race for a little while. Yeah, look, it's not a race I'd have a strong opinion on. But look, I think Vicente, with the Nichols team in good order at the moment, he would kind of be a bit of a token selection. He's a standout in these kind of long-distance staying races. And yeah, he's pretty versatile in terms of ground, but I think the better the ground, the better his chance. And he would do for me. He's only a 10-year-old, and he started the season poorly behind Rock the Casbah at Cheltenham, but last time out at Taunton behind Royal Vacation, it was a step in the right direction. And look, Paul Nichols' team are literally on fire at the moment. So
call the fire brigade. Literally on fire.
See, the thing is that the Oxford Dictionary changed the definition of literally. Because Jamie Redknapp used to say he's literally on fire. He's literally got a foot like a cannonball. Like it was crazy. So they've actually changed the definition. So Rixie's okay to say that.
All those clowns on shows like Towie, where they go, "Oh my god, I'm literally dead." Well, you're not, mate. You're talking, so shut up.
Yeah, this is why they changed it.
You can't slag someone for doing it when you've just done it.
Exactly.
Well, I obviously knew about the dictionary change, didn't I? But geez, Blake's not even Mary J. He's getting awful grumpy. Jesus.
Ting-ting.
All right, so it's Vicente. I will go, surprisingly, for De Klondike. For David Pipe to go and get the job done. He gets back in the winner's enclosure live on Sky Sports Racing 240 on Saturday. And if you're wondering, why has Emmett not asked Kevin Blake for his view? Kevin doesn't have a view on the race. So we'll move swiftly along back to Kempton to the Skybet Dovecot Novices Hurdle, where Angel's Breath, who is a ridiculously short price for the Supreme Novices Hurdle, is going to be currently odds on if he does indeed run. Alan King's Scarlet Dragon is 3-1 second favorite currently. Itchy Feet for Ollie Murphy, 7-1. I'm sure he's relieved to be having a runner back. He's tens in places. Bright Forecast, eights. Declan Ricks, we'll start with you again, my friend. He was very, very impressive against Danny Kerwin, who unfortunately we heard from Paul Nichols is now out for the season, which is a real shame to the yard, because I know talking to Harry over the last few months there, they were very excited about what he could do. But he's only jumped four hurdles in public. So to justify his position in the market, he really has to do something special at Kempton at the weekend. And in Scarlet Dragon, he's coming up against a decent horse.
Yeah, he does. This kind of, I can see why everyone is down on Angel's Breath. He's only jumped four hurdles. He's only had one race. But, to counter that, I would say this horse on his first ever start on the racetrack won a grade two, and he's run to a very, very good level. And the first and foremost thing when we're looking at races is we're looking at levels of ability. This horse, in no doubt in my mind, has got the ability to win, to potentially win the Supreme. Every single noise that has come out of Seven Barrows about this lad suggests this horse is just, there's something a little bit extra to him. And I don't like kind of, listening to stable vibes in general, but I think we definitely have to take it on board with this lad. This will be his acid test. It's going to be a little bit of a different test for him now as well, because Kempton is obviously a good bit sharper than Ascot, and he's going to be running on much quicker ground. And actually, just before I finish here, the go and stick reading at Kempton on Wednesday was 7.6, and the weather in London the last couple of days has been really good. Unless they water, I think this ground at Kempton is going to be very, very quick for the time of year. So it's going to be a much speedier test for him, and we'll find out a lot more about him. But look, he's got a £5 penalty to carry, and he's odds on. So Yeah, look, I couldn't back him. But the real issue with this race is essentially we haven't got a fiddler is what's going to run. There's a couple of horses in here. If Brandon Castle, Bright Forecast, Rogue Viv and Southfield Stone, if they all run along with the Alan King horse, Scarlet Dragon, there's no way Angel's Breath should be odds on. Not a chance.
Yeah.
So that is, but we just don't know. The price he is suggests to me that we're going to have a few non-runners. You know, Itchy Feet of Ollie Murphy's, he's also in here, but I don't think he's going to run. Look, I don't know. It's a very hard race to get to grips with because we don't know what's going to go. But I can get everyone's kind of sense of frustration in terms of Angel's Breath and where he is in the Supreme market. But at this moment in time, I wouldn't be a backer, but I wouldn't be a layer either. So, look, I'm excited to see what he can do now. This is going to be a bit more of a speed test for him. And if he can't adapt to it around here, up in grade again in the Supreme, he's probably going to be one to take on. But look, we'll see. All shall be revealed on Saturday. But Scarlet Dragon is a horse who will love the makeup of this race. He's going to love the quick round. He will love a strong gallop, and you can definitely see him coming into the straight cruising along. So yeah, look, he'll have a race here, Angel's Breath, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this horse can do, because I can't get away from the vibes that we're getting from the yard.
Time discloses all, as the clock says at the Curragh. You're probably right about
Before they knocked it down.
Before they trashed the place. You're probably right about Itchy Feet, Rixie, because the owners have Rouge Vif, and Gavin Sheehan is jocked up for him for Harry Whittington, so perhaps they'll go with him instead. Kevin, the interesting thing for me about Scarlet Dragon is that Connections stated after he won at Huntingdon that they were going straight for the Lingfield Derby, and yet they stay over hurdles and they come here. So that indicates to me that they feel as though this is a horse who could be a Cheltenham player.
Well, I think they know what would have faced him in the Winter Derby as well, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But Scarlet Dragon, like, I was really impressed with him last year over hurdles. His first run, where he finished behind Global Citizen under a very educational ride, was impressive. I thought he'd go very well at Aintree. It didn't happen. The ground went against him. And look, he's been blasting away there on the all-weather and doing very well, to be fair to him. He's, you know, rated 104, having been a little bit higher than that. So we know he's got a good old engine. But I liked what he did at Huntingdon. You know, he's a horse that the better the race he's in, the better he'll be, because you watch him there, just like he was on his hurdling debut, just really free, very, very strong. And he was buried by Wayne Hutchinson now, really buried to try and get him to settle. And his jumping is quite good. And he just kind of jumped his way into the race. And all of a sudden, he's in front before the second last. And you know, the quality of the race allowed him to kind of saunter away from there. But in a race where there's more early pace and better horses in it to carry him into the race for longer, I think we'll definitely see him to better effect. And look, like Rixie says, zipping around Kempton over 2 miles in good ground is going to be what he wants. So as long as Hutch can get him absolutely anchored there and get some bit settled, I think he'll be a fairly tough rival now for Angel's Breath, who I don't want to knock. And I know we've probably been knocking him a lot for the last 2 months, really. But in the main, that's been sort of, well, for me anyway, it's been a price-based criticism. He was a relatively short price for the Supreme, based on one run of questionable solidity. But look, Henderson's clearly thinking an awful lot of him. What he did at Ascot was good in the main. Steadily run race, wouldn't really have suited him. Didn't jump many hurdles. What he did jump, he was grand. Was the official Kevin Blake notes verdict on that one. no better than that. But he was good and strong up the run in. So I'm happy for him and his Connections that they're finally getting another chance to run him. It would have been a serious pain and a negative for all involved if they had to go straight to Cheltenham with just one run. So I'm looking forward to getting to know more about him on Saturday. But in terms of a betting interest in the race, you know, I'd probably be inclined to take a chance on Scarlet Dragon. I think he's a very talented horse. He jumps well enough to suggest that he'll translate plenty of ability to hurdling. And it's just all about Wayne. Like, the more declared in this, the better. I'd love a big field. I'd love a few front runners in there to give way and every assistance to get him settled, because geez, he's strong. So that would be my view on that. And you want a quick classic Kevin Blake sidetrack?
Absolutely.
Do you remember there a week or two ago I was mistakenly calling Angel's Breath Angel's Share?
Yes.
For some random reason. Yeah. Do you know what the Angel's Share is?
Go on.
Have you ever heard of this, or are they just random words?
It's not ringing a bell.
So in the process of whiskey being distilled and aged, right? They age whiskey in wooden barrels, and during that time, some of the whiskey escapes, like evaporates and escapes. Like 2% of your whiskey will be lost per year, and they call what's lost the angel's share, because it evaporates up to heaven and the angels get to drink it.
Do you know, I got a tour of the Jameson distillery. They were talking about, you know, the aged barrels and how, just as you're saying, how the, like, depending on how old the whiskey is, like, you might only get half a barrel because it'll seep into it, it'll soak into it. But they didn't say that it's called the Angel's Share.
Ah, they missed the beat there. Yeah,
the beat.
You can lose. I was reading about this. It's mad interesting. It loses like between 2 and 5% per year.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
So if you've got a 12-year-old whiskey, like, you've lost a quarter or more of your barrel.
Yeah.
Into the air, the angels, drunk as monkeys. So there you go, Angel's Share. It'd be a good name for a horse. Stay away from it, lads. I'll reserve that.
Yeah, you better book that one with Weatherby's now, because Eddie O'Leary's off to book it straight away, I would think. So Scarlet Dragon, I'm glad to hear you saying that, Kev, because I'm very, very keen on Scarlet Dragon as well. We'll definitely get to learn an awful lot more about Angel's Breath at the weekend, and it'll be interesting because Sam Tristan Davis was talking to Rishi on Sunday, and they were saying about Al Dancer that they don't know if the owner is going to want to run both in the Supreme, and if they do have to go up in trip for the Ballymore, how they'd ride them differently. So we'll have to wait and see.
If anybody, I don't care who you are, if anybody from the Nigel Tristan Davis yards thinks that horse who won the Betfair is going to run in the Ballymore, they are off their bloody head.
He was saying about how we'd have to ride him differently and try and hold on to him for longer.
If one horse is just ridiculous, like, that horse will lose his mind in the first mile.
Yeah,
it'll be like bloody Dawn Approach or whatever horse it was in the Derby.
Oh, dearie me. That was a nightmare. Absolutely.
It's just chaos. But the thing I'd say about that is Ronnie Bartlett is he not, he's the co-owner, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, what happens if Ronnie goes, well, look, I'd like to run Supreme, I think it's the right race for him. You know, they're different trainers. So but if there is one horse that's going to be switched, it's going to be Angel's Breath. It's not going to be Al Dancer. Not a chance.
Yeah, I would have thought the same. But he's got to win at the weekend first, so let's see if he can do it. If he can, then believe the hype. But that bubble could well and truly be burst, and quite keen, particularly now to hear that Kevin is agreeing with me, to go with Scarlet Dragon. Right, the next race we will talk about has been a key trial for the Triumph Hurdle. It is the Adonis Juvenile Hurdle. The current betting, as things stand on attheraces.com, sees Fussell Raffles 5-1, 9-2, 3-1 with some firms. Song for Someone is a general 5-1 shot. Giving Glances, 7-1, 5-1 at places. Cracker Factory, that's a racist, 7-1.
Jesus.
Oh, Echo. My God. You crackers. 6-1. And Petit Parley, 8-1. So, Rixie, we will start with you again. Your thoughts on the Adonis Juvenile Hurdle.
Ah, sure. Look, I haven't a bloody clue till we see the decks. Haven't a clue. It's not a race to be confident on until we see the decks, because there's a good few well-known trainers like Nicky Henderson having potentially could have send their horses in to have their first run in the UK That is it. Eco is coming from Germany. Fusel Raffles, the Henderson horse, is another French one. And Rose C. Haas, the Dr. Newland horse, that's coming from France as well. Look, we haven't a clue what's going to run until we see the decks. But the horse that looks the horse that we know of the horses that we know plenty about here, the one that I like is actually Song for Someone, who is a little, he doesn't look too big now, but geez, he's a dynamite little jumper. And there doesn't look to be a whole lot of pace on here. If the Dr. Newland horse, Rosie has, doesn't run, because he's made the running in France, if that horse doesn't run, I think there's a very good chance Song for Someone could get a freebie out in front here. And given how he jumps and how he travels, he could take a bit of catching around here. So that would be the selection. But I'm going to give a shout to a horse at 40 to 1 here.
Hoop-ha!
Who could, don't think it could win, but stranger things have happened. And that is the John Ryan horse.
Ho-ho!
Needs to be seen. Now, he was 6.5 lengths behind Kel Destan in the grade 2 at the Triumph Trial at the November meeting. But Jesus, he shaved very well now. Paddy Brennan rode him. And at that particular meeting, Paddy had a good bit of success kind of coming wide, if you remember, coming wide down the side of the course and into the straight. And he did the same here with Needs to Be Seen. But I think he made his run a little bit early. But I think he jumped the third last and he jumped the second last up with Kel Destan. Before kind of, you know, he flattened out a bit. And I think getting back onto a flatter track on this quicker ground will suit him. Officially, he is rated 112. But I think this is one time where the BHA haven't lost their mind. And I think this horse is probably about a 10-pound better horse. And this is not a good race on what we know of the British horses. But like I say, it depends on the ones that we don't know a lot about coming from France and Germany. We'll have to see what they can do. But I don't think he's a bit anti-post, because I have a funny feeling he's not a horse that's going to be found in the market anyway. But he's definitely interesting. I could see him sneaking into third maybe at 40 to 1. And that would be, what, about an 8 or 9 to 1 winner. So that would do. But kind of Song for Someone would be the... would be the most obvious selection for me.
Shout out to John Ryan's Need to Be Seen motivator up in this place, making the Final Furlong Podcast posse loads of cash. Final Furlong Podcast crew, roll deep, son. 40 to 1. Loving it.
Yeah, he's better than his mark, no doubt. No doubt.
Follow that one, Kevin Blake.
Joseph used to train him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a lovely horse.
I missed that.
Yeah, no, I really liked him when he was there. He was there up last summer. He's a smashing horse. He would have won a maiden on his head over here, but he was sold.
Very good.
I'd say I could see Kempton suit him now. I don't know if he'd be one that would necessarily win at Cheltenham.
Yeah, well, he won at Musselburgh, didn't he, the start before Cheltenham?
Yeah, I'd say a flatter track might help him now, but that's just... That's just a kind of a punty thing based on his early development. He might be a bit more mature that way now.
Was he pretty straight kind of for a motivator?
Oh yeah.
Some of them can be absolutely off their chops, can't they?
Psychos.
Yeah, that's the Monju line.
The Monju line, yeah.
So, Kevin, would you be keen on Needs to Be Seen as well, or are you looking elsewhere?
I wouldn't put anyone off at that type of price, but Petit Palais was one I had my eye on. I don't know if you've seen his pedigree, but he's a half brother to that. No, he's a half brother to that top son of Galileo Gold.
oh, you mean the moral winner of the 2,000 guineas? Is that the 2,000 guineas winner for Galileo, who's
Top son of Galileo.
Top son of Galileo, who, of course, enhanced Galileo's record no end. I could never understand the naming of that horse. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, he's out of a Galileo mare.
That's not the point.
It's not rocket science.
It's not the point. Can't call him Galileo Gold when he's out of a Galileo mare. Absolute joke.
This fellow, he was with John Gosden. He cost a good few quid as a yearling. And I did a grand for John Gosnell, you know, rated 84, changed hands for 26 grand, which was pretty cheap now, to be fair, for what he is and what he looked like. But he made a lovely start at Ludlow, good and straightforward. His jumping was grand in the main. He kind of paddled through a couple, but he was good and strong up the run in, which I always like. And I'd say a stronger test of stamina will be a help to him. And yeah, if I was to pick one, it would be him, but I wouldn't put anyone off Rixey's selection there. It needs to be seen.
£220,000 he originally cost. Pity pay.
He cost 26 grand the last time he was sold.
£220,000 and they only got 26 grand back. Ooh, fingers burnt. So petit palais.
Yeah, Princess Haya was miserable over that, I'd say, yeah. Food, nothing but food stamps after that.
It was Tesco noodles for the month for Sheikh Mohammed and the crowd until they got the little bags. Up and down the lines and managed to get the money back. Right, Bags Groove, speaking of little bags, the 150 at Kempton is the Pendle Novices Chase, and Bags Groove is currently favourite at 3-1, 11-4. Second favourite, Secret Investor, who's closing all the time, around about 3-1. Castafore, 5s, Capelin, 5s, Good Man Pat is a 6-1 shot, but 4s in places. Rixey, again, will lead with you, my man. The Pendle Novices Chase, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, a couple of observations here. I think kind of first and foremost, Bags Groove is going to be carrying a 5-pound penalty, which won't make it easy for him. Castafiore, the mare who turned over Jerry's back at Haydock last time, she's got a penalty as well. And in some ways, the interesting horse here is Good Man Pat. I don't think he'll be wanting to win this now, but I have a funny feeling this is a horse they could be eyeing up to get into the Close Brothers.
No.
He needs one more run, I think, to qualify. He has got a mark of 139. So the ceiling for that is 145.
That's right.
So I'd say old Wayne Hutch there could be maybe travelling 4 wide at stakes, you know.
Allegedly.
Yeah, no, but no, he's only doing that to give his horse a good sight of the fences, you see.
That's your better ground out there, Rixey.
Yeah, better ground out wide. That's, you see, he won't be wanting to win it now. So in terms of a bet, I couldn't kind of actually back him now, so that may be potentially, but he's a nice horse now. I like him. He travels and he jumps and he's got a nice way of going about him, but he would interest me now in the Close Brothers if he got in. Yeah, look, I think in Bags Groove is the most likely winner here. I think he's going to be the most likely suited to this really good ground on a right-handed quick track like Kempton. He did beat the Nichols horse at Wincanton, and he's £5 worse off now. But Secret Investor, to me, shaped that day like he'd like to go up and trip, and I think that was proved correct when he ran very well behind OK Corral at Warwick over 3 miles. I don't think coming down and trip will suit him as much as it will suit Bags Groove now. But the other issue I'd raise about Bags Groove is he's done plenty running already this season, and he was disappointing in the Cato Star behind Le Bago Wa.
Cato.
Is it? Do people really get offended by that?
Yes.
You know, like, still?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time.
I suppose it is.
10 years has passed. We're still annoyed about it.
Right, Cato. You see, that's just been ingrained into me now for years, and I'd say it'll be very hard to get that out of my mind. Cato.
Get it right Cato, from now right. on.
Right, yeah. You've got to call the greatest horse
exactly
you've ever seen by his correct name.
Legend.
So, yes. So he was disappointing in the Cato Star. at Kempton was Bags Group. So I'm hoping it hasn't been a case of kind of one run too many for him. But there's a good chance here he's going to get a freebie out in front. He's a very good jumper. He likes to go right-handed. Loves these quick kind of right-handed tracks. Yeah, he'll do for me. If there is a chink in his armor, I think Secret Investor is the one. But yeah, I think at the prices, I think 3-1 about Bags Groove is still pretty fair.
Paul Nicholls has won this race 7 times in the last 10 years, Kevin Blake. So it's Capelin is the one that interests me a little bit more than Secret Investor. But I believe you're quite keen on Bags Groove as well.
I'm a Bags man, yeah. I'm a Bags man. I was
Bags of what? Glue?
Oh, yeah, boy, yeah.
I was very impressed with him when he gave weight and hiding to everything there at Huntington. Good aggressive ride up to 3 miles, and I really liked his jumping. It was neat, efficient. I don't even know how well he's suited by making the run, and to be honest, I think he's one of those that he likes to swing along, but generally there's nothing fast enough to give him a lead. But he's coming back down to 2.5 here. 2.4 mile furlongs to be exact, and I'm hoping something will boot on and make the run at a real 2.5 mile pace, and he'll be able to sit just in behind, because I think that'll suit him. And as Rixie says, he's giving weight away to everything, but I think he's just better than the rest of these. And you have to address what happened last time. It was disappointing. They weren't quite as forward with him, but I just don't think he was going well from a fair way out. He wasn't himself for some reason. He had been a little bit busy, but I wouldn't like to put that up as the reason. I just think for whatever reason he wasn't on a going day. And if he could bounce back to his Huntington form, I would fancy him to give away weight to the rest of these.
Okay. Bags Groove, so it is for Kevin Blake. We are going to take a change in codes and talk about flat racing. I know, what? Middle of the jumps, and we're having the audacity and the sheer gall to talk about flat racing. Now, this is going to be a controversial card on Saturday. As you know, there is a prize money protest, and it's resulted in 2 races having just the 1 runner. So there's going to be 2 walkovers at least at Lingfield on Saturday, but there's no such thing as a walkover in the Winter Derby, which is worth quite a few quid, although it may very well turn into one. Wickerson is 4-11, and this is what Kevin was alluding to earlier on with Scarlet Dragon, who was beaten by Wickerson already. So 3's on, 4-11.
Kennedy pronunciations.
Or Wishicken, sorry. Big Country, it's been a fine horse for connections. 10's, Master of the World, 8-1, Hatal 12-1. Kev, you can lead the way this time around. Is this just a case of John Gosden's horse lining up and getting the job done?
Yeah, this would look fairly straightforward on paper. He looks a right horse, one that could be very competitive at a higher level than this on turf. I think he could be very good. I think he'll be a proper group horse on turf. And he's shown that he operates very well around Lingfield. He's beaten the likes of Big Country a couple of times already. And it would be a shock, I think, if he found a way to get beaten here. I think it would take something odd to happen to see him beaten in this.
Frankie Dettori and John Gosden teaming up. They're coming out of Trap 3. Rixie, is there any alternative, or is it just a case of sit back and watch him win on Sky Sports Racing?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of sit back and hopefully go on and see what he does. I did remember when he did win the Cambridgeshire last year, I think Timeform gave him a pretty high rating after winning that, like a high enough rating that they felt he could go and potentially contest the QE2 at Ascot on Champions Day. But he obviously didn't take up in that engagement. But yeah, look, I'll be honest with you now, I haven't watched too much flat racing. I bury myself in one code whenever it's on, and I haven't been watching a lot of it. But yeah, I suppose the main takeaway from here was I didn't know the Dixon brothers were big fans of the great MMA fighter Roy Big Country Nelson. So you learn something new every day.
Rixie, I only saw it today. He shaved his beard. Big country.
Oh, no way.
You wouldn't recognize the man, yeah.
Jesus. But yeah, I didn't have the Dixon brothers down as MMA fans now, but there you go.
You learn a new thing every day. So
if you put the two Dixon brothers in the cage now, who would you back to win, Rixie?
Oh, jeez, I don't know. The Dixon brothers would probably get their tactics right, to be fair, wouldn't they? But, but big country's got a serious outright hook on him there. I can see one of them sleeping.
So Wissahickon has won his last four on the trot, going for five in a row, and a very, very strong favourite to do so. And you'll see it in Glorious HD 315 Saturday on Sky Sports Racing. We'll switch back.
Yeah, I tell you, it wouldn't be a shock if he is a Group 1 horse to me now.
Yeah.
He's a weapon. To do what he did in the Cambridgeshire now, off a mark of 107, was ridiculous, really. Yeah, he's absolutely bolted up as a three-year-old off a mark of 107. Yeah, I think that was the old cliche there, a proper group horse in a handicap. And it wasn't a bad bet at 11-1 that day. That's what, after timing.
Yeah, to say the least. Beautifully bred too, son of Tappet. For George Strawbridge. So we'll see.
Half brother to Rainbow View, remember her?
Yes. So we'll see if Frankie will be doing the flying dismount Saturday on Sky Sports Racing. The 4 o'clock at Ferry House is the BetVictor Bobby Joe Chase, where Alpha DeSobo is currently heading the market. Best price 5-2. Presenting Percy, who we'll have to talk about. 2-1, 5-2 in places. Rathvinden, Cheltenham winner from last season, 5-2, 3-1. They're all locked together at the top of the market. Magic of Light for Jessica Harrington, 11-4, 7-2. And then it's Monbeg Notorious, 10-1, and double figures the rest of them. Kevin, is Presenting Percy going to line up in this race?
I'm sure, look, the market tells the story there. I think people are being very sceptical about the possibility of him turning up. They were hoping for a bit of rain. I wouldn't say they've got enough. I'd be very surprised if he turned up, but Pat Kenny seems to do the opposite of what everybody's expecting all the time. We all thought he'd run in the Red Mills. He didn't turn up. No one seems to think he'll turn up here, so he'll probably go and pick and run. That seems to be the way it works for them. It'd be great to see him now, but I'd be a bit surprised. And because, to be fair, if he doesn't turn up, it's a bit of a meh type of race. Without wishing to be disrespectful to anyone, he would be very much the star factor in the race.
We've talked about Pat Kelly and the fact that he's quite aloof and doesn't engage with the media, and how this is a very interesting quirk about him in the modern era. But people were genuinely annoyed that he wasn't declared for Goran Park and that he wasn't talking about it. And it's Philip Reynolds, the owner, who's been taking care of all the PR. How did you feel that was handled, Kev, just to get your take on it?
I've kind of got mixed opinions on this now, but the closer we get, it is. I was kind of seeing the attractiveness of the kind of the quirkiness and how unusual it was for this silent trainer to have such a high profile horse. But the closer we get, it is getting a small bit more silly. I know I was at Goran there on Saturday, and just the sense of disappointment from everyone involved that they had no warning that, you know, he wasn't going to turn up. And I know trainers don't have a duty to ring a race course and tell them what they're doing, but when you're dealing with one as high profile as this, a bit of media savvy goes a long way. And we're lacking it here. Look, Philip's really good. He talks really well. And he does a good job of representing the team, but no disrespect intended, obviously. You'd rather be hearing from the trainer, ideally. So, there we are. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I hope he runs. I suspect he won't. And I'm just mad to see him because I love the horse. He's fantastic. Everybody loves him.
And if he doesn't run, how badly does that affect his preparation for the Gold Cup in your mind?
Wouldn't bother me. The man, the legend that is Rory DeLarghi, was asked the question on Twitter, when was the last time, and I'm talking slowly because I'm typing here to try and get the answer up before I get there, when was the last time A horse won the Cheltenham Gold Cup without having run over fences that season. And fuck it. Hold on, I'll get it here. The horse was Easter Hero, and it was in the 1920s. That's what I have for you, and I'll get the specifics. Come on, here we go. Easter Hero, 1929 Gold Cup. He'd won all four of his starts over hurdles earlier that season and went on and won the Gold Cup and then was second in the Grand National under 12-7. There you go.
So cheers, literally, literally back in 19-dickety-doo.
Literally, literally before the emergency. We've never had that before.
But you've got to go back to 19-dickety-doo to find a horse who had not run over fences that season to win the Gold Cup. That doesn't bode well for presenting Percy.
Well, but look, you've got to go back to 19-dickety-doo to find a trainer as odd as Pat Kelly as well. Like, you know, he's not normal. You know, he does odd things with his horses. You know, the preparation he gave, how many RSA winners had a preparation like he had last year, you know? So I wouldn't be tying myself up in knots about the preparation. We saw him a couple of weeks ago. He looked in great form. And look, the last time we saw him jumping a fence, he was a fabulous jumper. So I wouldn't be getting stressed about it. You'd love to see him just for the sake of, we want to see good horses, the best horses as much as possible. But in terms of, if you're on him for the Gold Cup and you shouldn't be, you know, lying awake at night worrying about it. I think he'll be just fine, but ideally you'd rather see him out. But if he doesn't, I don't think it'll hurt his Gold Cup chances all that much myself.
Okay, Kevin Blake says, don't panic. If he doesn't run, Kev, who would you be backing in the race?
Oh, gee, I don't know. It'd be a very open affair now. There'd be plenty in here warming up for the Grand National. And look, the ground is still good to spicy in places there on the Irish tracks. They're putting down water at Fairy House, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah, they are.
And Nace is going to be spicy enough as well. So again, as has been the case in recent weeks, I would be reluctant to go too deep on a pre-declaration analysis here because I suspect these races will chop up. But one that I suspect will be running is Rat Finden. Trained by Willie Mullins, won the National Hunt Chase at the Cheltenham Festival last season. And the reason he'll run is, I think Willie was saying at his media morning there yesterday that he needs to run over fences at least once this season before St. Patrick's Day, I think it is, to be allowed to run in the Grand National. So I think they're aiming him at the Grand National and they'd rather run him here rather than... What's that noise? Is that you, Rixie?
Yeah, apologies.
Come on to yourself. Jesus. So they have to run at least once. They'd rather do it here rather than take the chance of going over to Cheltenham and something going wrong over there and all of a sudden they're out of time. So it looks like he'll run here. And but it wouldn't be a race that I'd be jumping up and down about now, unless Don Poley runs, of course. But I'd be very surprised if he ran on this ground.
That's what I was just about to ask you, because you were hanging out with the biggest superstar in racing, Don Poley, with some nobody called Sam Crow off his hindquarters, whoever that fella is. But you feel he won't run.
That was Tiger Roll. You're getting mixed up.
Was it Tiger? No, you said Sam Crow. Some fella called Sam Crow.
It was in behind Tiger Roll.
Ah.
I was in the stable with Don Poley.
That's right. Don Poley was half snoozing, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was hanging out with him there for around 10 minutes. It was great crack with him.
Yeah,
he's a smashing horse. He was getting saddled up, so I was howling on to him while he was getting saddled up.
Brilliant.
Legend of a horse.
But you don't feel he'll run?
Yeah, they've been minding them this year with regard to ground, and I'd be surprised if they ran him in this ground.
Okay, is he being targeted at the Grand National?
Yeah, that's the aim.
Excellent, all right. Let's bring back in Rixie. Alpha de Sobo has been really rejuvenated under Gordon Elliott's care this season, having left Mouse Morris, and he's been running some stormers, not least beaten by Kemboy and a mighty run in the Thyestes chase last time against Invitation Only. Could he be the one in the absence of presenting Percy if he does not show up?
Yeah, look, he's the form horse coming into the race anyway, isn't he? Kind of presenting Percy aside. I've always kind of felt about Alfred Desobo, he always wanted decent ground. So, you know, he's gone on everything. He's run well on everything. So, yeah, look, as kind of Kev said there already, this unfortunately kind of for the listeners this week, it's really hard to get to grips with a few of these races. And this is another one.
Yeah. 100%. The last race we're going to talk about then is the Bumper at Naas, unless the lads want to contribute anything else in. It's the Paddy Power Horsebot. Right. Bumper. 505 at Naas, dominated by Giggenstown entries. The unbelievably disappointing Mount Leinster, who was being hyped up as the next big thing and has been beaten on all three starts under rules so far this season. He's entered, and so too is Midnight Run, Kevin, for Joseph O'Brien.
Yeah, he's going to run, I think, all being well. He ran very well behind Envoy Allen last time, to be fair. For a few strides, he looked like he was going better than him, but he to be fair, Envoy Allen forged on after that and has gone on and won again since. But Midnight Run's a lovely horse. He'll be a super hurdler and chaser even further down the line. But I suspect he'd run well here. It depends what turns up. I think Gordon, speaking to Gordon on whatever day it was, Tuesday, he was saying that Andy Dufresne and the very man...
Andy Dufresne!
That is a bad one for Blake.
I'm not... Well, that's the way it's spelled. I'm not familiar with anyone called Andy Dufresne, so I'll take correction on it if I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. You're not familiar with the Shawshank Redemption. What the hell is going on with you?
I'm familiar with the film, but geez, I don't care enough about it to remember characters' names, lads.
Rick, see, this is unbelievable.
This is just ridiculous. We'll have to take this out because the wedding could be off.
Oh, she's going to cancel
it. Which character was it? Remind
me. Tim Robbins' character, the one that Morgan Freeman makes friends with, the guy who was stitched up and breaks out of jail.
Okay. I'm due to a rewatch now because I quite literally wouldn't have watched that now for 15 plus years. So I probably need to give it another rewatch. I don't think I've watched it in my adult life. I would have seen it as a teenager. There you go.
You're having a go at my pronunciations. That is one of the worst crimes ever committed on this podcast.
Hold on, that is a heinous
crime. It's so bad that the Special Victims Unit are going to be investigating you. This is a SVU investigation.
Can I make a counterpoint, Kenners?
No, you can't actually.
Let me just remind the listeners.
No, this is coming from the man. No. You've made an absolute fool of yourself. That's shocking. Absolutely shocking. Loads of people haven't seen Braveheart. Braveheart is not regarded as one of the greatest films of all time. That's not regarded as one of the greatest films of all time. Dearie me.
I've seen Shawshank Redemption. I think I've seen it twice.
Yeah, and you still got the name wrong.
You've never seen Braveheart.
Nah, can't be bothered. I saw clips of it on Gogglebox one day. That's enough.
Rixie, how many times have you seen Braveheart?
Oh, I've never seen it.
Yes! Yes! Oh, Rixie! Woohoo!
I got your back this weekend.
Oh, on Rixie, bye. I've got your back too, son. Oh, ganging up on Blake. Right.
No chance, that's true.
So Andy Dufresne is not going to be running. Is not going to be running.
How many times, Rixie? 10? 20?
Oh, I don't know. Now, I wouldn't be a big film man. We've had this conversation before. Give me sharks, whales. All that kind of shite.
Hashtag Rixie loves Wales.
There's two things that Rixie gets excited about: Cheltenham and Shark Week.
And Wales.
And the occasional whale. So
and orca whales trying to get seals off pieces of ice.
Oh, yeah. I won't knock that now. That's class. They're sneaky, aren't they?
Oh, they're just ridiculously
evil, really.
Intelligent.
Could the very man be the horse then that runs for Gordon, Kevin?
No, I asked him about Boat and he kind of, he wasn't really giving me wild encouragement that either would run. I think they're both being aimed towards, the very man certainly being aimed at Punchestown. And Andy Andy Dufresne, we're going to go with.
Yeah. What do you mean we're going to go with? That's his pronunciation.
No, that's okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm learning. It's fine. He didn't give me the wild impression now that he was in a rush to run him anywhere for the time being, but he seems to love the horse, but he's just in no wild rush with him.
Okay. Could Gordon be the type now to give you an old curveball because he knows who you're working for now?
Ah, sure. Who knows? No great benefit to it this time now, I don't think. But
there you go. I'd be pure sneaky. I'd be around telling lads blatant lies. Oh, yeah, no, he won't run there, lads. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then bang, give me the prize money.
But you see, Rixie, you have to think about this properly. If he wanted to stitch me up, he'd say, oh, yeah, the both of them definitely run. And then I'd go away and say, oh, geez, I don't know about Midnight Run now. Gordon's running his two best bumper horses. We might want to give this one a swerve. And then, bang, Gordon runs some other yoke. Column of fire. That'd be the way you do it now, Rixie.
If
you're going to tell a lie, you better make it an effective lie.
If you're going to stitch a guy up, do it well. Do it properly. William Mullins has won this race 5 times in the last 10 years. Could Mount Leinster finally get off the mark, Rixie?
I don't know, to be honest. Bumpers wouldn't be my thing. Kev, it sounds like Joseph's going to run Midnight Run there. His four behind Envoy Allen is pretty good now. If he's going to run, Kev, is he obviously going to he's be happy enough on that ground?
Yeah. No, I think he'd be grand. He looks a highly likely runner. So I'd be hopeful. Okay. Assuming the big two we've mentioned don't turn up, I'd be hopeful he'd take a bit of beating.
I can't wait for the two of them to be up to it now.
See, if that happens, you know, he's not being sneaky, he's just being mean-spirited.
Yeah, that's just being mean, basically. Did he happen to say that Andy Dufresne will be going for the Cheltenham champion bumper?
No, definitely won't.
Definitely won't be going.
Lock stock. Rule him out of that. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's an interesting piece of information to have. Right, lads, let's get your best bets then for the weekend's racing. Kevin Blake, we'll start with you.
I'm ready for it this time. Bags Groove will do for me.
Okay. Declan Ricks.
I am also ready this week. Talk is cheap for me.
And for me, I am also ready to Klondike. Put them all in a patent and we'll see you in Dubai. You can't go wrong. This is the one.
Give it to charity, lads.
This is the one to be on. Never mind charity. Charity begins with your betting. Place your bets. Do it in a patent and we'll see you in Dubai. We're back on Monday to review the racing weekend, so hopefully you will join us then. Thanks very much for listening, and thank you for the kind words on social media as well. Hope you enjoyed it. From Declan Ricks,
see ya.
From Kevin Blake,
good luck.
And from me, Emmett Kennedy, we'll talk to you again on Monday on attheraces.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Remember to subscribe for free and get all of our podcasts onto your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop, wherever it is you listen on your podcast app, we'll be there. Talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless.
The Final Furlong podcast is proudly sponsored by Coral. Look out for exclusive Final Furlong smart boosts on attheraces.com. The smart money's on Coral. BeGambleAware.org 18+.
Have you downloaded the free At The Races app yet? With easy-to-use race cards and form, expert daily tips, plus video replays and in-app betting, it's the app that no racing fan's phone should be without. Available for free on your iPhone or Android mobile, visit attheraces.com/app for more details.